We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Let's go with the lineups. You got Olin Krutz, the Hawaiian heartthrob.
Olin Krutz.
Olin was the best center in the league. He made me a better player and competitor. We all looked up to you, Olin.
14-year NFL veteran.
Olin Krutz was a warrior. He embodies what a football player is.
Six-time Pro Bowler and four-time NFL All-Pro.
Touchdown! Who was that lead blocker?
Olin Krutz with a block.
The old veteran comes out there, cuts the defender off of his feet.
Football analyst for 670 The Score and NBC Sports Chicago.
Whenever you're looking for an offensive lineman, you're looking from the waist down, and you want to be able to shoot a good movie on that butler there. So,
Olin Krutz.
The conversation is about the toughest guy in the room. Olin Krutz is being talked about.
Olin Krutz with Danny Parkins on 670 The Score.
And Rami Makhlouf, who's been in all week here on the Danny Parkins Show. This Sunday, 9 a.m. to noon, Olin is on with Hub and Patrick Manley. And after the game, post-post, Hub and Patrick for, Anthony Herron and Olin Krutz for 2 hours after at 6, up until 6:30 when we're airing Sunday Night Football. So it's Olin and Anthony Herron for post-post. It's Hub, Pat, and Olin for the pregame show. Now he's on the Alpamonte Nissan hotline, Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park. What's up, Bo?
What's up, guys?
Chilling, man. I have high expectations for the Bears offense on Sunday. What about you?
Mm-hmm. Well, it all depends on what you mean by high. I mean, I think they'll look better than they did against the Colts and Tampa Bay. Those are two really good defenses, and it's proving out to be the case when you watch them against other teams. So if they can get to 24 points, which I think they can against this Panthers defense, I'll be happy about that. But, you know, I think we're looking at hopefully an offense when they get comfortable with Nick Foles and Nagy gets comfortable with him and maybe let him run the show a little bit more at the line of scrimmage. We're looking at an offense hopefully, if the Bears want to compete, they can climb to the middle of the pack in the NFL, you know, but points scored and moving the ball and especially time of possession and just not turning the ball over. So with their talent on offense and the fact that they probably just lost their second best football player in James Daniels on their offense and their team lacks talent anyway there on offense, you're just hoping that they can get a little bit better here as the week goes on. And what we saw in the last couple of weeks was kind of just, you know, they were going against really good defenses.
James Daniels is that big a loss? You said the second best player on this football team, Olin. What does that do to the guys who are playing around him when he's not there and they don't know that guy is there who can handle his job and knows what his assignment is?
Yeah, I think he's that big of a loss, to be honest. I thought he was really a rising star on that offense and the kind of guy that really this team needed, right? They need young guys to step up. Miller really hasn't. They need guys to develop into all-pro or Pro Bowl-type players. And I thought he was developing really well at left guard. I'd like to see him back at center, but that's an argument for another time. And I think losing him, especially because they really didn't have a plan. Their plan was either Rashad Coward or Alex Bars. They haven't put a lot of money into that offensive line. They brought in Jermaine Ifedi from Seattle to fill that right guard role after, you know, everybody knows about last year with Kyle Long's injuries and Ted Larson and Rashad Coward filled in there. So just not having a tremendous amount of talent on that offensive line, losing a guy like James for their whole offense, I think is going to hurt them. Maybe might not show up this week, but as we go on, you know, with the Rams, the Titans, and the Saints coming up, I think it could show up and be a problem for them.
Matt Nagy wouldn't say who was going to start at left guard, Bars or Coward. I have no ability, Olin, to evaluate the backup left guard for the Bears. Like, and tell you the differences. I have zero ability to do that. Like, does it matter to you? Do you have a preference?
Well, I have a preference just because I know Alex. I like to see him get his shot, but that's just my personal preference. As far as Rashad Coward goes, look, he moved over from D-line last year, played mostly right tackle in camp, played right guard. I'm talking about last year, obviously. Started at right guard for the Bears, you know, did a pretty good job and then really struggled at the end of the year with his technique, which you would imagine a guy who played D-line most of his, all of his career in college. And then now he's going to try himself out at left guard. So we'll see what happens there. Whatever happens there, it will be a drop-off from James. And then Charles Leno and Cody Whitehair is going to have to get used to playing next to a new guy. And guys, we're talking about now already a weird offseason, right, where they only had, I think, 10 live practices. They had no OTAs. They were trying to incorporate a new offensive line coach, a new offensive coordinator, a new quarterback coach, a new tight end coach. So any change in there could affect things. Hopefully having a guy like Nick Foles in there can really help organize things at the line of scrimmage and get everybody on the right guys.
What kind of things can they do, Olin, to make up for that scheme-wise, to make up for the loss of a James Daniels?
You know, you can slide the center to him, which last week was really surprised when Alex Bars got his first snap against the mountain that is Vita Vea. Cody Whitehair slid away from him and left him one-on-one there on Vita Vea. So those aren't the kind of things you want to do. You don't want to give Alex Bars or Rashad Coward one-on-one blocks against Vita Vea. Of course, they're not going to see Vita Vea this week, but Derrick Brown is a handful in there. He looks like he's gotten a lot better from the first 2 weeks. Kaywon Short is out, so that'll help. So they're not going to face that kind of defensive line. You know, as we move forward, obviously, Aaron Donald is going to show up pretty quick here for the Rams. And you just got to give them help sometimes. Hopefully scheme some blocks in there that you know they're good at and try to keep them away from a lot of one-on-one blocks against guys who can wreck your game plan.
We're talking to Olin Krutz here. He hosts the post-post show with Anthony Herron, also does pregame with Hub and Pat Manley. You hear him all weekend on The Score and with us on Bears Fridays, Bears Mondays with Mully and Haw. Olin, you know, Matt Nagy talks about identity for his team and how they frankly lack one. What do you feel like you know about the Bears? What do we know?
We know the same thing we knew to start the year. Coach Nagy, they don't lack an identity. He just doesn't want to accept what their identity is, and that is they have a very, very good defense. We knew that coming into the year. We knew they had an amazing front seven, and that's proven out to be true even without Eddie Goldman. Now, the run game has been a problem sometimes, but in the red zone, they're tremendous, man. And their secondary, with the addition of Tayshaun Gibson and Jalon Johnson, you put the film on with Buster Screen and they lock guys down. I mean, this is a very good defense. If they could cause turnovers like Kyle Fuller did last week, that'll be the difference in this year, guys. And I think we knew that coming into the season. We just didn't know, and we didn't know all of 2018, you know, half of 2018 and all of 2019. The offense has showed us what they are. They score about 18 points a game, and they need help either with, you know, with kickoff returns from Cordarrelle Patterson or turnovers to get them some you know extra opportunities down there to put the ball in the end zone. This offense just struggles scoring points, guys, and that has always been my argument. People keep talking about this run game, and Coach Nagy talks about it, but you know I go back to the Chargers game last year where they rushed, you know, Montgomery rushed for 135 yards, averaged 5 yards a carry. Guess what? They lost 17-16. Their problem is they don't have a lot of playmakers. They don't have a lot of guys who put the ball in the end zone. So they need extra opportunities from their defense. And look, if you really go through the salary cap wise, that's where the money is. So the defense has to make plays. Last week they did, and hopefully that continues.
Olin, just before we brought you on, I said, I don't care if they win ugly all year and go 11-5 or 12-4. I really don't. Because of what you just said, when that defense is right and is clicking and is causing the turnovers, I think they can go as far as anybody. But is that the formula when you're a front office that you want to put together of if our defense is clicking at the right time, we could win a Super Bowl, or do you think there's a better route to take to get where you're trying to go?
Well, everybody wants to take the route of having to, you know, Mahomes, but there's only, you know, and Russell Wilson, but there's only about three or four guys like that in the NFL, right? And then if you don't have those guys, well, you do what the Tennessee Titans do, and you build a defense that causes turnovers, and you run the ball and build your offensive line, which the Bears haven't had a chance to do just because, well, they gave, you know, they either traded their draft picks away or they gave money to Robert Quinn instead of going after someone like Trent Williams, who was available for the Washington Redskins. So you make your choices and you go with it. But I continue to be amazed that people are shocked that this offense is average. All you got to do, you know, if you guys want to do something that's fun, just go through every starter on their offense and give them a yes or no. You know, yes or no, do you want them on your team? And you're not going to get a whole lot of yeses.
Let's do that with you.
Okay.
but I'm gonna make it hard, Olin. I'm going to make it hard. I'm starting with your guy.
Well, Danny, I wouldn't expect anything less from you.
My guy. Okay. Charles Leno, yes or no?
I'd like to improve that position.
Okay.
I would take that as a no.
Cody Whitehair, yes or no?
Yeah, let's take Cody Whitehair. Let's leave him in there, but let's do this. Let's move Cody back to left guard.
Okay, so okay. Cody Whitehair is our left guard on if Olin Krutz replaces Ryan Pace. We know James Daniels is a yes, and he's your center.
If I replace Ryan Pace, can I trade for Trent Williams in the offseason or no?
Sure.
Okay, left tackle.
You can do anything you want. So
I got Leno as my backup tackle, swing tackle. We're doing pretty good on the offensive line now.
Okay, so Trent Williams is the left tackle. Whitehair is the left guard. James Daniels is the center. You've erased his pectoral injury.
I got all kinds
did the
of
old
power.
Mr. Miyagi?
Yeah, exactly.
Put the hands together, yeah.
Jermaine Ifedi, yes or no?
Jermaine Ifedi, yes, if he's my backup guard, right tackle.
Okay, that's a no.
That's a no, yeah. That's
he's
not
a
where
starter
he is.
On
right.
this team. And then Bobby Massey, yes or no?
Yeah, I'll leave Bobby where he is because I can't have that much money across the whole offensive line.
Okay, so Bobby is replacement level acceptable. Okay, Allen Robinson's obviously a yes. Anthony Miller, yes or no?
No.
Darnell Mooney, yes or no?
Yes. As a rookie, yes. I think he's playing very well. I'll use him as my third wide receiver. I just need to find myself a number two somewhere.
Cole Kmet, yes or no?
As a rookie, yes. I need another starting tight end out there somewhere to fit into this system. Although Jimmy Graham has been great in the red zone. He's been the guy scoring touchdowns for us.
Right. He's got, what, 4 and 5 games? So Jimmy Graham, yes or no?
As my starting tight end like they have him?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. And then what would you do at quarterback?
With this offseason, probably the guy you're about to see.
Teddy?
Mm-hmm.
That would have been – so, I mean, you would have had to beat 3 years, $60
million? $21 million a year. What do we give Nick Foles?
About $21 million a year, isn't it?
No. Well, but the Jaguars are paying a lot of it, right? The Bears are on the hook for like 8, I think. You know, the Bears have a lot of incentives with it, but you see
where we're getting, right? Because it just you have to pick and choose where to build your team and the offensive line. If you just look at what they've done to build it, then you're not really shocked anymore why they're average.
Yeah. And right, Robbie, they did guarantee him $21 million, but just not in 1 year.
Offense in general, because you haven't really hit on, say, Kevin White, who was your first pick of the draft, and then he's gone. Miller hasn't really developed. Now James Daniels is out. Cole Kmet, you know, we haven't seen from him yet what we want to see from him. And then you traded 2 ones for Khalil Mack, and now you see why we are where we are on offense, right?
Yeah, absolutely. They've invested more on defense than offense.
I'm saying to you is that their identity is no shock to me, right? So their defense, Eddie Jackson has developed into maybe the best safety in the league. Roquan is flying around. Trevathan has taken a step back. But they put Khalil Mack. They traded 2 ones. They gave him, I think, $131 million. And they put $70 million on the other defensive at the other outside linebacker slash defensive end, another pass rusher. They got Akeem Hicks. They hit on him. And now you know why they're playing so well on one side of the ball and not the other.
So my last one for you, and this is yes or no with GM Olin Krutz here on the Danny Parkin Show.
I know. I feel like I haven't done the whole – I've done the yes or no thing well. I think I've avoided that. But go ahead.
Yeah, you have. Yeah, that's exactly what you've done.
You're officially a member of the media. You've learned how to dance around questions. Yeah.
All right, but this is the tough one.
Okay.
Or maybe it's not. Matt Nagy, is he your head coach, yes or no?
He's my head coach. He's not my offensive coordinator. I'd like to see him. You know, what Coach Nagy did is his scheme has not worked since middle of 2018. And when he moved on from coaches last year, he just doubled down on the same scheme that we've been watching average under 20 points a game now for, you know, a good part of 2.5 years. I think he's a good head coach. I think that he should give offensive coordinator duties to someone else and see what works.
Is that person on the staff?
Well, that is just depends on what kind of scheme you're trying to run. You know, the thing we always go back to talking about is Mitch Trubisky was drafted to run kind of scheme that you're watching Tannehill run down there in Tennessee. Now, you know, Arthur Smith, their offensive coordinator, does a great job down there, but that's the scheme that quarterbacks who struggle processing information, the outside zone boot, read half the field type of things. Only every once in a while you guys sit in the middle of the pocket. That's the kind of scheme they excel at. So that's the kind of scheme I think if I didn't have a lot of talent, if you look around the whole NFL, if you watch what scheme works for teams that play good defense, it's usually that kind of scheme.
Danny, can I add one more to your yes
Please.
Or no list?
Ryan, Please.
The guy who Olin is doing his job right now, Ryan Pace, yes or no?
Ryan Pace, I think he's done a pretty good job of building that defense. It's hard to give someone a no who's 4-1, right? So they are 4-1, and they're trending in the right direction. Obviously, they got the Panthers this week. They beat Tampa Bay last week. They're getting pretty lucky with all these injuries that teams are coming in with, but that's all right. You can only play who's on the field, and you just find a way to win games, and they're doing that. So they went to the playoffs 2 years ago, and now they're back to 4-1, so I think you got to give him a yes for right now.
Olin, I don't remember if we talked about this a couple of years ago, but when I covered those Chiefs teams, one of the things that was like the most obvious to me was how incredible they were at the screen game. And like my guys on that team were the offensive linemen, and they would talk to me about how they had never been coached in the screen game like they were once they got to the Chiefs with Andy Reid, that he was just a wizard with it. Tight end screens, running back screens, middle, left, right, like just like the attention to detail, the precision, where the blockers had to be, the timing of it, everything. They had never been coached quite in that way. With Matt Nagy, the Bears have had like nothing out of the screen game the last couple of years. Like a successful screenplay is a rarity. What are you seeing there? Like when they run it, why isn't it working here? And the key to a successful screen game.
Well, it's you just said it, and you heard Coach Nagy talk about it this week. And it's just interesting to me when you hear a coach talk about details, because that is their coaching staff's responsibility, right? To get the details right, to get the little things right. Now, I do remember a few, like I think Tariq Cohen, the game he got hurt against Atlanta, I think he had a 20-yard gain on a screen. I think he went 75 yards in Coach Nagy's first year. I forget what game that was now. But like you're saying, they're few and far between. And what you see with this whole offense when you watch it is just that. It's just little details being missed, whether it's the offensive lineman not keeping a guy on his right shoulder when it's supposed to be there, or, you know, or the running back not settling in an area where he's supposed to be, or someone not recognizing that it's man coverage versus zone coverage, because that all changes your screen game. The quarterback's got to be a little bit of an actor back there on a screen game. So do the offensive linemen, so do the running back. So there's just a ton of details that's kind of hard to give the listener a picture of when you're talking on the radio. But just you heard Coach Nagy talk about it this week, that the details are missing, and really it's missing from almost every element of this offense.
Olin, you brought up Roquan Smith a minute ago, and he's flying all over the place, and it seems like he's always in the frame when I'm watching these games on TV. But then you see missed tackles sometimes where he goes into the backfield untouched. And you look at the numbers after the game, and I think he has one, maybe two double-digit tackle games, solo tackle games so far this season. I don't know what to make about Roquan Smith. Is he having a great season, a subpar season, or is the truth somewhere in between there?
Yeah, it's somewhere in between, like you're talking about, because there are a lot of missed tackles. And to be honest, you know, Eddie Jackson, who I think is a really good safety, he's had a few missed tackles too. So some of that may be that they didn't have that offseason this year to get everything right. And hopefully they keep playing better and better, which it seems like they have there in the middle of that defense, especially Danny Trevathan has played a little better the last couple of weeks. But I think Roquan is doing a really nice job running that defense, showing leadership, calling the fronts. They got him out there now on nickel and dime. He's pretty much the guy running the show. So I think he's having a really good year. I'd like to see him, like you're saying, make a few more splash plays, tackles in the backfield. He had an opportunity last Thursday for those plays where Coach Pagano, who did a really nice job designing a game plan against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and Tom Brady sent a couple blitzes that had him free, and he missed those tackles. So if he could add those to his game, make a few tackles for loss, a couple sacks, and just make those big splash plays, then he'll be having the kind of year that you would expect from a first-round pick.
Who you picking Sunday?
I got the Chicago Bears. I think their defense it does a really nice job against the Panthers and Teddy Bridgewater and Brady. Is that the offensive coordinator's name? No, I'm mixed
Joe
up.
Brady.
Joe Brady, yeah,
from LSU.
I think they do a nice job against those guys. And I think the offense, you know, moves the ball and scores enough points, and the Bears win this game.
Olin will be listening Sunday on the pregame show and post-post, man. Thank you.
Appreciate it, guys.
That is General Manager Olin Krutz with us here on The Score. We're making Rami pick games coming up at 4 o'clock, but when social media learned that Rami Makhlouf was going to be in this week, I was inundated with requests, pressures. People said, you got to make him have this take. You got to tell him to talk about this. And it was like one specific – he doesn't know that I'm going to do this.
I have no idea.
One specific thing over and over and over that I heard.
I've said a lot of stupid things over and over and over again in my tenure as a radio host, Danny. I don't know what you're about to pull out of the hat.
Well, one of them came to me more often than everything else dumb that you've said. So
okay.
I'm going to see where this I have no idea exactly the details of it, but I'm going to try to make Rami Makhlouf explain an outlandish Chicago sports take next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I got a hot take.
Oh, Rami Makhlouf is just fitting right in around here. He's apparently ordered Shane Reardon to go get him coffee.
He offered before the show, and I said, can I take you up on that offer, my man? That's all.
Did you offer to pay?
No. What is this, Jimmy Butler's hotel in the bubble? Is it $20 per cup? Is he making me espressos over there?
Oh, you didn't send him to, like, Starbucks or something.
No. He has a coffee machine in his office. No, I wouldn't take him away from the show. Not that I could. I have no authority here. I'm just a guy who's sitting in this chair for a week.
All right. Well, I was curious what was happening.
Thank you, Shane.
That's
good.
Appreciate
it. You're a good
man. Bossing Shane around already. I like that very much. So.
Come on, make that coffee to go. Let's go.
So when Twitter found out, because we said this at the beginning of the week, you and I had spoken on the phone twice for a grand total of 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I had never heard any of you on the radio other than when you were in with Lawrence like over a year ago for guest week. I heard like a segment of it.
Mm-hmm.
Watched a couple of your stand-up things on YouTube. Ben Heisler told me about you. Mitch Rosen obviously knew you. So I was like, yeah, let's try it out. It sounds amazing. But I had no idea about your radio work. But when we found out that when we shared on Twitter that you were going to be in for a week of these like pseudo little auditions we're doing, you had clearly a lot of fans, a lot of people that were pumped from Milwaukee and Minneapolis, Chicago, all over the place.
Thank you. To all the supporters.
Yeah, it was great. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, this is going to be really exciting, really fun. I've really enjoyed the week. But there were also a significant number of people who either replied publicly and even a couple who slid into my DMs who said, you got to make Rami give you his take about Wrigley Field having a roof.
Well, okay. It's not about Wrigley Field.
And I was like, what? The Monday, Tuesday through Thursday have gone well enough that I don't think this is going to completely submarine
that poison
your
the waters. All right, good.
But it might, and so I want to see if you could possibly defend Wrigley Field having a roof. It makes no sense.
One of the first things I did when I was in Minneapolis was start the hashtag put a roof on it movement, and it started because I got there, and on my first day, I went, guys, how did you build a stadium in 2010 in the northern part of the Midwest of the United States of America with all the technology that we had and all the resources that you poured into that stadium, taxpayer resources, to have a stadium that you can't use for a third of the season? And the blowback I got to that, Danny, was incredible. Like, I thought that was a pretty mild take in Minnesota. I figured everybody would just agree with me that we don't want to sit in freezing cold and rain and occasionally snow while we're enjoying baseball in the first couple months of the season, or if they make a playoff run in the last couple months of the season. But people were very against it. And to be clear, I always said a retractable roof so you can have your sunshine, you can have your outdoor ambiance and atmosphere, you can have the beautiful skyline of Minneapolis.
Yeah, that's all reasonable, but how did Wrigley Field get sucked into this?
And so somebody asked me if it was feasible, if it was possible, would you put a retractable roof on Wrigley Field? And my answer was, hell yes. Man, all the atmosphere, all the ambiance, everything else about going to a baseball game, those are just toppings on a Sunday. I'm here for baseball, man. Baseball is the ice cream. And if I can't enjoy the baseball, don't give me the toppings. Don't give me sprinkles without ice cream. Don't give me whipped cream without ice cream. That's just an empty cup of toppings. And I don't want to go. If I could go to Wrigley Field.
Can you explain the topping analogy again? I'm still confused about Pizza Friday. So if you could please just explain the topping analogy one more time.
On Friday at the end of the week, okay, at the end of the work
please,
week,
thank
we
you.
Get pizza.
All right. Okay. That cleared up
got
all
it.
My confusion. All right.
If now I got that. Now we're back to the spring.
If I could, if I could go to Wrigley Field the first 2 months of the season and enjoy baseball without inclement conditions, I'm all about it, man. But I know it's not a feasible thing. I know it's not a realistic thing. Do you guys want to get an architect on the phone and see if it's a realistic thing? Because I would totally do it if it was.
I would absolutely do it if it was. Here's where I'll split the apple with you. On a new stadium, I got no problem if you say
my main point.
Every new stadium should have a retractable roof. I really don't have a huge problem with that because you're spending the money anyway. You may as well, you know, be able to use it for multi-purpose year round. I can get with that logic. Snap your fingers and put a retractable roof on Wrigley Field. That's just like, it's just sacrilege.
I mean, haven't we snapped our fingers and changed a lot about Wrigley Field? Weren't the video boards sacrilege? Isn't the fancy club behind home plate? Isn't that a little bit sacrilege to the bleacher bums in the history of Chicago Cubs fans? Like, this is not the old Wrigley Field. This isn't still the Sistine Chapel, man. It's changed. It's changed with the times. It's more modern, and I'm for that. I want all the bells and whistles that help me enjoy baseball, including a retractable roof, so I don't have to sit in terrible conditions and not enjoy a baseball game I paid a lot of money to enjoy.
Shep, you look more confused than normal. Yeah. Where are you at on this?
Is this guy for real? This is a real take. This is a real thought.
Yes.
Okay, so your baseball experience is better in April. What about July?
I opened the roof, August? Shep. Like, I opened the roof.
The middle of summer. What's better than going on a great day to Wrigley Field or wherever it might be and watching a baseball game, eating a hot dog, having a cold beer on a hot,
beautiful,
sunny afternoon? Does that experience go away with there being a retractable roof?
No.
I mean, every
retractable. You just said retractable.
Stadium I've been to is
Shane, can you
roof.
Explain retractable to Shep?
Because all right, so
I
here's the thing.
It,
on Friday,
it's different field in those stadiums. Miller Park, Arizona. Was it Chase Bank Field or whatever the name of the park in Arizona is? The park in Houston. They all feel the same. The only one that I've been to that feels a little bit different is Safeco out in Seattle, because the roof actually, it's not like, it's a cover. It's more of like a big piece of metal cover. It's not like, it's done differently than actually the other stadiums are. So I don't know. It takes away the uniqueness of the stadium. You can have your retractable roofs. I'll give up my Aprils and sit miserably in Wrigley Field or whatever Midwest stadium it might be in order to have outdoor baseball for how great it is in the summer.
You know why I'm not true that concerned baseball with those things? Because I'm looking at the baseball. My eyes are down on the field watching baseball. I'm not looking at the sky. I mean, look, again, the ambiance is nice. It's a nice little addition. But first and foremost, give me baseball played in good conditions, because we all know it's not as good a product when it's cold and it's raining. And it's just not as enjoyable as a spectator sitting there in the seats, freezing your ass off, possibly soaking wet from the thunderstorm or the snowstorm that just blew through as they were trying to get 7 innings in before they have to call this thing.
Guys, we could talk about this all day, and why wouldn't we? But we have an actual architect, or at least a man claiming he's an architect,
nice,
on the line right now.
Awesome. I've been waiting for this a long time.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
Chef, I wanted to know if you think retractable roofs can't open. You know, the whole purpose
no,
of it.
A retractable roof can open, Mr. Architect
weather,
Shane. What I said was, if you've been to stadiums with retractable roofs, they all feel the damn same.
No, well,
there's
here's
nothing,
the thing.
When
the retractable roof,
90%
when the
gone.
Weather's nice,
I'm aware
you can
a retractable roof can open and close. That's why it's called retractable, smartass.
Huh? So I don't see a con, really.
It's a loyal soldier. They put a roof on it. Movement. I love it.
Yeah. That's deep. Well, because Shep, it did. The majority of your rebuttal to Rami did make it seem like you would lose the ability to have sunshine in the summer.
Like, you can't see the blue skies. The sky opens up.
Rami, you worked in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
There's not the true,
I love that park,
outdoor feel at Miller Park when the roof's open.
I love
it's
that park.
It's not nearly the same as when you go to a game on the south side, go to a game on the north side, whichever it might be. It doesn't feel like it's a true outdoor stadium because the roof's closed. It's so damn high. It feels like you're still in a ballpark that's, it's so enclosed that it feels like you're still in an indoor arena, even if the roof's not necessarily on.
They got the big glass panels in the outfield, plenty of sunshine. It's beautiful. I love Miller Park, and the thing I love about it most is I know I can buy a ticket, and there's going to be a game, and a game I can enjoy. That's what I like about Miller Park.
All right. This is as polarizing as I expected it to be. I didn't know any of it other than literally someone sent me a message and said, Rami wants there to be a roof on Wrigley Field.
If feasible.
Damn.
If feasible. I know it's probably not realistic.
Yeah, I wasn't interested in that.
Wasn't that a thing in Kansas City forever, though, Danny? Wasn't there the retractable roof that would go over Arrowhead and Kauffman Stadium?
They talked about.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, that looked cool.
Yeah,
my dream.
Like a
that's my dream right there. Yeah.
Yeah, they
are you the same
right,
way
they,
with football?
No, football is meant to be played in inclement conditions, excuse me. It's a man's
and
game.
And commissions,
yeah.
Okay. Oh man, texters are just coming in. I liked this guy until now. Different texter. He just failed his audition. I was Team Rami until now. He just doesn't get it. Man,
you
I
set
just
me up,
submarine.
You set me up.
I'm so sorry. But listen, you know, we were saying the other day, like in a job interview, sometimes you can fake it and you can be like, my only flaws are I just work too hard. I care too much.
Not this guy. I'm an open book, man. I'm transparent, like it or not.
Yeah, you have other flaws. you have more flaws than just caring too much. We have learned that much about you. We're picking games against the spread at 4 o'clock. Panthers fans feel like the Panthers are fraudulent. Bears fans kind of feel the same about their team. We got stats here. We're gonna try to figure out which team is more fraudulent. Next on The Score.
Get to the phone lines, Patrick. We're gonna start out in Naperville and welcome in Brian. Brian, what's you got in your mind, buddy?
So here's the thing. I've been saying this for years, and I know you take my call, and I appreciate it. But Matt Nagy is a fraud.
Cannot wait for Bears postgame calls if the Bears lose this game. So I'm expecting a good game from the offense, and if they don't, I may or may not call in sick on Monday. Actually, I can't do that because I think Monday's plan is I'm solo from 2 to 4, and then Olin Krutz is hosting from 4 to 6 with me. So it's going to be a big Bears Monday show. Very much looking forward to it. Shep's point is articulated beautifully by this texter when it comes to the roof. A retractable roof is the same as a sunroof. It's better than a closed roof, but it's not the same as a convertible.
It's beautifully put.
It's a great way of...
Okay.
Explaining Shep's point.
But what if the car with no roof didn't start half the time? Or it just wasn't an enjoyable ride?
Well, no, you can't always use a convertible.
Exactly.
Yeah, if the roof is down.
I'm sorry, I mixed
time.
Up my analogy there. Yeah, with the
Can
convertible.
Can no one follow a metaphor on this show? Like, I get Pizza Friday.
My bad. Pizza Friday just messed me up, man. It's too confusing. It just scrambled my brain.
On Fridays, like at the end of the week,
okay.
We choose to have...
Let me write this down this time. Hold
sure,
on.
Sure. Like, right. There are tons of cuisines out there.
So Friday.
We choose pizza. It falls on Friday being the end of the week.
Friday, end of the week.
Yeah. Pizza. We got a PDF. I'll forward you the PDF.
Okay.
PDF.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be...
I eat the pizza. Cool. All by myself. Nobody else eats. Eat the pizza.
We don't share pizza on Pizza Friday. So we got two teams who national media, fans of both their teams, kind of think they're fraudulent. Panthers are 3-2, lost 2 to start the year, 1-3 straight. Christian McCaffrey's hurt. Bears have replaced a quarterback amidst a 4-1 start. I've had double-digit deficits in 3 of their 4 wins. It's been a weird year as we're about a third of the way through the season for both these teams. So we asked Shep to put together some stats that, you know, you would think, maybe this is something that would happen for a bad team. These are stats that would say, this is a bad team, but we know that both of these are winning teams. So we're going to try to figure out which fraudulent team does the following stats
Which fraud is it? If this was a game show, it would be which fraud is it?
Exactly okay. Right. Which fraud is it, the Bears or the Panthers? So, Shep, give us the first stat between Bears and Panthers.
Okay, this team, 69 penalty yards per game, are the third worst total in the NFL through the first 5 weeks.
Danny, want to go first on this one?
It's an either or, so
yeah,
one's going to be right and one's going
to be... I'm gonna say... The Panthers, the Bears don't feel like they've been one of the worst 3 penalty teams in the NFL this year.
I don't remember which game it was, but there was one game where it seemed like every other play they were getting a flag. I think that probably upped their average. It might have been the Giants game. I'm going to say it's the Bears.
All right, I got
Robbie
Panthers.
He is right. 29th ranked team, 69
right.
yards
You're right.
penalty yards are the Chicago Bears.
All right, bad
this
job by
team,
me.
This team's 21 points per game are the 27th most scored by an NFL team so far this year. Who am I, the Bears or the Panthers?
Say that again. I wasn't listening.
Well, that's good for a game or good for a questionnaire that's going on.
Just good for radio
this
in general.
This team's 21 Danny, points per game listen, scored so not. Far this season ranks 27th in the NFL.
That's got to be the Bears.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm going to say that's the Bears.
It is the Bears. Do you guys care to guess where the Panthers rank of the 32 teams?
I'm going to say middle of the pack, like 14, 15.
Danny,
go ahead. What is it?
20th. 24.4 points a game. Really only
bad
field
teams.
Goal more.
It's, Danny, yeah. Are you laughing at me? And yes. do you know why it's so funny? Because I still didn't hear what stat we were talking about. because you were talking to me over it. And so I was just going to follow wherever Robbie went.
Robbie's idea of a game went over like a lead balloon in the pre-show meeting, and now we're just seeing the bit to fruition here, and you still have no interest in it. You're not listening.
Would this be
a
good time to transfer over to the police dog from my hometown that retired yesterday?
6:05, man. I told you. 6:05. It's in the rundown. All right. Give me the next one. Give me the next one. Which fraud is it?
This team's 50.8% third down conversions allowed is the third worst in the NFL. They allow 50%, over 50% of third downs are converted against them.
Panthers.
That feels like the Panthers.
I think it's the Panthers.
That feels like the Panthers. Bears defense is too good for that.
It is the Panthers. 50.85% they have allowed third downs to be converted against them. The third worst in the NFL, in case you're curious. The Bears second best in that category, only allowing 33.3% to be allowed against them. This team, surprisingly, is averaging 6.2 yards per play this year. That's good for fifth best in the NFL.
That's definitely not the Bears. That is not Matt Nagy's offense.
Robbie Anderson's like fifth in yards per catch. Yeah, that's got to be Carolina.
Yeah, is it good if you're the fifth best offense in terms of yards, but the 20th best in terms of scoring? Because that's your Carolina Panthers so far this season. It is, right? You guys are right, the Carolina Panthers there. This team's 2.4 touchdowns per game ranks 24th best in the NFL. Who am I, the Bears or the Panthers?
Give me that one again. I'm going to pull a Danny.
2.4 touchdowns scored per game ranks 24th in the NFL.
Oh, that's
who
the Bears for sure.
Bears or Panthers?
Yeah, they don't know where they don't know what the end zone looks like most of the time.
Yeah, they don't, but I'm going to say that might be the Panthers. They had that game against the Chargers where they had 5 field goals. So I'm going to say Panthers.
You guys are both right. They're both tied. 2.4 touchdowns per game. It ties for 24th.
Tried to. How about them Bears?
The bit's turning around. That's an interesting factoid. I like that.
See? There you go. Don't count it out just yet.
Nope.
Yeah.
Danny hates everything.
No. Yeah.
Right. You're right.
That is accurate. He's a real saboteur.
All right. And this team is allowing their quarterback to get sacked on more than 5% of dropbacks, 5.24% to be exact, 18th best in the NFL. Who am I, the Bears or the Panthers?
I'm going to go Bears on this one. That's just a flip of the coin. I think that could be either of these teams. But
yeah,
I'm gonna go
it definitely
Bears.
Could. Middle of the pack. I'll say the Panthers to keep it kosher. I don't know. Go ahead. Panthers.
It is the Bears. 5.24% of dropbacks quarterbacks have been sacked on this year. Carolina, actually, ninth best in the NFL, 4.32% of dropbacks they have allowed a sack on. That's ninth best in the league.
Okay. So both of these teams are not very good. Let's go Bears.
But
let's go Bears.
If you are looking for one, I guess, big difference that goes in the Bears' favor, touchdowns allowed. I know we did touchdowns scored per game, but touchdowns allowed, the Bears are only allowing 1.6. That's the least in the NFL or best in the NFL. The Panthers allowing just under 3, puts them right at average, right at 15th in the league in terms of touchdowns allowed so far this year. So good luck getting in the
is
end zone,
that,
Carolina.
Oh, sorry, Nick. Is it that these are two bad teams, or if we're grading on a curve, of an NFL curve, like there's about 5 teams who you look at and you go, that's a really good team. And then there's maybe 5 teams you look at and you go, they're garbage. They're trying to get Trevor Lawrence. And everybody else you look at and you go, I don't know what to make of them. They might be trash. They might be really good.
It's the opposite of the country. There's a huge middle class.
Right.
There's a huge, robust middle class in the NFL. All right, we're picking games, Danny versus everyone next, and then we're trying to figure out what is going on with Mike Davis. How can he be so good in Carolina? And thinking about ex-athletes who fit that description for Chicago. It's next on The Score.
As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.